We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I didn't really have a reaction. You know, the league makes the decisions, and it doesn't matter what I think or you think or the rest of us think. The league makes their decisions, and we're going to live by it. He's another guy that's not easy to replace. He obviously has a huge impact on our lineup when he's in. So it's going to be incumbent upon all the rest of the guys to make sure they step up. Guys are going to get more of an opportunity to play more significant minutes and more key roles, and they've got to embrace that.
And What's on Tap is brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. And we are here at the Cambria Suites getting ready for the Sidney Crosby-Connor McDavid collision course. Pushed back an hour for the national NBC audience. No Evgeny Malkin. So Robin is out for this matchup. Do you think Malkin would be offended by that?
Mm-mm.
If someone referred to him as Robin to Crosby's Batman?
No, I think he kind of relishes the fact that he doesn't have to sit and sort of answer all the questions, wear the C, do what Ovechkin has to do in Washington.
Do you think, having spent more than a decade here, Malkin is Americanized enough to enjoy comic book and superhero movies?
I mean, who says that if you're in Russia, you don't enjoy that stuff too?
Are those blockbuster films over there? Are they getting...
I feel like the Avengers movies have done well, like Iron Man and stuff, even though he's fighting a Russian guy in the second Iron Man. I feel like those movies do well everywhere.
And they're just getting dubbed into Russian?
Yeah.
And so even though the plot is Russia goes down?
Yeah, I mean, do you think Rocky IV eventually got dubbed into Russian? I'm sure it did.
I'm guessing Rocky IV did not do well in Moscow and...
Rocky IV in Moscow is the story of a man who is a Vladivostok.
St. Petersburg.
Is a story of a man who is a champion but handles defeat with humility and class. That is what it's a moral tale in that place. By the way,
has anyone ever asked Malkin for his thoughts on Rocky IV?
I bet he hates it. Right? I bet he hates it. Talks about how Stallone had to roid up just to look half as big as
Dolph Lundgren. That sounds like something Rob Rossi.
He would know. He would definitely know. I'm expecting a Rossi text or tweet saying, actually, Malkin, ironically enough, is a huge Rocky IV fan. He probably takes no offense to being the Robin to Sid's Batman in this town either, because I'd still argue that he's the rare case of a guy that when they're both playing their absolute best, he might be better. The problem is he hardly ever gives you that more than one game at a time, and Crosby gives you that almost every single night.
If Malkin's Robin, who is Kessel?
Who's like a weird, very effective but sort of punchline superhero from those things? Is he like?
Who was the guy that Batman that Bruce Wayne had who would boss around his butler?
The butler? Alfred. Nah, that's not Kessel. Not even close. Wow, Kessel's
this
like,
show at Cambria reaches up to a rip roaring start.
Business
they
just picked up here.
Sandwiches
yeah,
over
I was
here
just.
For us.
I'm gonna have a veggie wrap here. Oh, wow, look at all
take
this.
Two.
Take two.
That's how they treat us at the Cambria Suites.
You know
Suites.
What? I'll do this
They
one
come
too.
Over here with sandwich platters for us.
Wow, this
Thank
is
you,
amazing.
John.
No,
I don't
you
care
got
if they've
me...
interrupted this conversation about superheroes and penguins and allergies.
We had things going down to... Like, is this game all that special? Like, the Edmonton Oilers really have not
yeah,
held up their end of the bargain.
Yeah, it is, because it's McDavid.
I know, but he's playing on such a crap
Who
team.
Cares? That doesn't matter.
It matters to me a little
bit. It doesn't,
bit.
Not for one single second for me.
It does not matter to you.
No.
The fact that you're seeing him on a team that cannot get out of its
nope.
own way.
You think in the late 80s when Michael Jordan went to places like Cleveland and the Bulls were like a 40-win team, it took the starch out of those games?
That's
absolutely not.
That is a sport where people pay to see the stars even if the stars play on a 20-win hapless outfit. Hockey is a thing where I think Ovechkin-Crosby as a rivalry has been so good because the teams have been good around each man. I mean, Edmonton is the gang that can't shoot straight. They have somehow taken the most golden goose in the league since Crosby and completely butchered it, man. Just butchered it.
Well, no argument for me there. I mean, they've got one playoff series victory to show for McDavid's first, what, 4 years in the NHL. Malkin's going to watch it from the press box like Starkey tonight. We started last night. We ended last yesterday's show by getting into the one-game suspension, and that's where I wanted to start today's show because I read Cook's column, and his whole point was Evgeny Malkin's lucky that he got off easy, that the NHL Department of Player Safety just gave him a little light
slap on the wrist. Stick to the visor.
Nuns weren't using rulers on knuckles when you were in parochial school, were they?
Mm-mm. No, I think it was
were
more
nuns
like...
teaching classes?
Oh, yeah.
They were.
Yeah, multiple. My second grade teacher.
Was just a straight-up nun?
Straight up, yes, she was a nun. The straight up is like not necessary.
With teaching background, she just
no. She was. I think that was the whole point. A lot of the nuns in the vocation, you know, you take the vocation, then part and parcel with that is you're going to teach as well. She, I had a nun as a second grade homeroom teacher and fourth grade as well, and I liked my teacher in fourth grade. My second grade homeroom teacher, Sister Claudia, used to threaten me because again, my mom taught upper L at this school. St. Teresa's out in Perrysville. She would threaten me if I was bad, not with the principal. I'll drag you down to your mother's room and humiliate you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the most unfair, ridiculous thing of all time.
I've heard most nuns were real sticklers, man.
Oh, they're disciplinarians.
They were the opposite of Tomlin. They were the antithesis of the Mike Tomlin.
If some of these nuns that taught me in parochial school were big Steelers fans, and I doubt they were, I feel like they never expressed anything like that. They would have despised the way Tomlin runs his show. It would have been, you know, where's the knuckle wrapping? Why doesn't he get these guys in line? A simple wooden ruler is all you need. Big corporal punishment.
Do you feel like Malkin got off easy?
Okay, so I have to answer this in two different worlds. In the sane person world...
How about the one we're living in?
The one we're living in, no. He got off with about what you'd expect. He got off with exactly what you would think, because in the NHL, it is never the intent, it is only the result. And maybe the intent here is so overtly bad that they decide to throw a game at him. But in real life terms, you swing your stick wildly with the pretty obvious intent of trying to clip the guy pretty good who just sucker punched you. Mm-hmm. You get at least five and probably more in a sane world. But in the NHL's world, they did exactly what they always do. Roffel wasn't hurt. Roffel's a pretty dirty player, admittedly, so they didn't really want to throw too much at a star-level player in the league.
If Roffel's career ended on that play...
Malkin gets the rest of the season, I think.
And I'm Roffel's agent or his attorney.
Suing Malkin?
I'm suing Malkin. I'm suing the NHL for allowing this environment to take shape. You know who else I'm suing? And this is the group or this is the person that has flown completely under the radar. The on-ice officials. Because if the on-ice officials there in that moment, if they blow the whistle on the punch to the back of the head, mm-hmm. I don't think the swinging stick ever happens.
If they adjudicate things immediately and harshly,
yes,
and punitively, and instead of Evgeny Malkin drawing a match penalty for this, Michael Roffel completely takes any chance away that his team was going to have a late rally, it's fine.
And then he's the bad guy. He's the man, your emotions went south on you. You put yourself in the penalty box. There's no chance. You know, the Boo Birds are crying out in Philadelphia. The game is over, and that's it.
But, yeah, that goes against, too. Again, I would love to answer this from the sane point of view, but the NHL is probably the most insane sport of the major four for a reason. Like, because officials in that game, I bet an internal dialogue's going on. We don't want to decide the game. We don't want to put Philly completely out of this. And they're probably at that point looking for a penalty to call on a Penguins player just to try to, you know, make up for the no goal, the quick whistle earlier in the game. These are everyone says officials are fallible, right? The fallibility is taken to an extreme in hockey, and I think it bleeds over into the way they say, we don't want to be the center of the game in the playoffs. We don't want to decide a game. Then they don't make calls that they should make, which helps to decide the game. It's a very flawed group of people.
But if they miss interference or if they miss...
No, willfully miss. That's the thing. They willfully don't call stuff.
If they turn the other way on an open ice check that's borderline...
Yeah.
Okay. They turned a blind eye to a guy punching another player in the back of the head. And it wasn't after the whistle, Malkin is challenging Roffel or the other way around. It's between the whistles. It's during the game. And they did nothing about it. The refs blew a call. And so I don't really get where I don't get the opinion that Malkin somehow got off easy. He's the only person that right now is either facing scrutiny. He's definitely the only one who's facing discipline for what happened.
I think
Raffel didn't get in trouble. The officials didn't get fined or suspended, and the league isn't really taking
it.
It
would be a seismic event if any, except for Raffel getting like in trouble. The officials taking a real hit for this and the league taking a hit would be a seismic change from the norm. So the reason people are telling are opining that Malkin got off easy, Ron writes that column, I think, from the perspective of a sane person watching somebody swing a stick at another person's head with very obvious intent. He is writing from the perspective of, in any sane world, that is a long suspension.
Fair enough, but that's an incomplete story. It focuses on just one of the characters. He's not the only wrongdoer, if you will.
I think in hockey culture, I don't think people view what Raffel did as wrong. I think most hockey lifers would tell you that that's a real smart, calculated play to sucker punch a guy. I honestly believe that that's how they'd view it. Your team is down 3-0. You need a major shift in the game at that point. You need to try to draw them into something stupid to make it a 3-1 game.
Who are people that would feel that way? Penguins fans?
I'm talking like your old hockey lifer guys. The guys who run the NHL say that's just good, smart, like sneaky hockey. Do something calculated and dirty to try to draw one of the most emotional players on the other team into a penalty.
When you say old hockey guys, what do you mean? People that grew up playing the sport when?
The old Canadian guard in the 70s, 60s, yeah, the 80s. That group of people. The people that fondly lust after the idea of Dave Semenko trailing Gretzky all over the ice.
But the guy that is the czar of discipline is a guy in his 40s from Washington, PA.
Yeah, but it's
not a guy from Saskatoon.
But he's a guy who played the game and played a role in the game that the guys from Saskatoon could really appreciate. The goon, the enforcer, the old school. Like, I don't belong on a rink in an NHL game other than the fact that I, George Parros, can fight really well. And I think that the fact that he inhabited that role, it's like the most old school of old school roles in the NHL.
One of the other things I hate is changing rules midstream. The games have already started. The season starts. And suddenly, in the middle of a season, 50 games in, we're going to start to do things differently. Even if it's for a quote-unquote noble cause and for the right reasons, we're going to completely flip and do things differently. And that is the logic that has been applied to this suspension. If players never get suspended for intent, and it's always for a result, why did they make an exception here? Why is Evgeny Malkin, who hasn't been suspended, he's played for 13 years, he's never been suspended. The first time he gets suspended is because
it's the most dangerous thing I think the league perceives there to be on the ice.
I saw him earlier this year, like, send a forearm or elbow into TJ Oshie's head that I thought was even more violent than what we saw on Monday. But because Oshie came back into the game and scored a goal, it was like, well,
because
it's not a big deal.
It was a stick foul up high, and it was, to anyone's reasonable explanation or inference, pretty obviously dirty in its intent.
Sure.
And so the NHL they said, that's pretty extreme. Let me ask you this. Tom Wilson has a long suspension history, but the league doesn't punish based on intent. He does the same thing to Malkin there. He's the guy swinging the stick and barely grazes the visor. Would you support a one-game intense suspension for him? Because you'd really be taking his history of suspensions out of the equation here if you're punishing on intent.
I would not.
So you would not feel a suspension was warranted?
I would. Okay, would I feel a suspension is warranted? Yes. But within the framework or the rules that have been established, he would not deserve a suspension. Because the NHL has shown us all year long that they don't suspend based on intent. You have to injure. You have to maim. You have to pummel.
I mean, that's at the end of the day what I'm saying. I guess I'm surprised that they imposed what I would call harsh discipline. He didn't get off easy.
That's the opposite
of lucky. He was unlucky. Because, yes, I mean, I'll circle back around to saying there's two worlds, the NHL's and the sane world that observes it.
I feel like
he's
the NHL
unlucky.
Made an example out of him. For whatever reason.
Well, they're not. No, if they made an example out of them, it would be the next time somebody does anything remotely like this, they get suspended. But there's absolutely zero guarantee that that's the case.
Did Evgeny Malkin get off easy? A one-game suspension, he won't play tonight. Do you have a problem with the discipline? Do you feel like he's lucky? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. We're hanging out at the Cambria Suites. We come down here before every big Penguins home game. We're already eating ham and cheese sandwiches. I've got my guy John here. The beers are going to start flowing in a few minutes for everybody. You pop on down. You have a few beers. You make fun of me and Chris. Yeah, that's okay. Well, I'm self-deprecating
enough
to accept
that. Don't make fun of me. I need all the
self-reinforcement. Jason Mackey's going to join us at 5. You're going to hear Sidney Crosby. What would Sidney Crosby do in that situation if he got punched in the back of the head? He'll tell you next on the PM team.
I don't think there's a right answer for that. I mean, it's an emotional game. You're going to do stuff sometimes. I mean, ideally you wouldn't do anything. You know, you'd skate away, but I'm sure there's a lot of guys, myself included, who've said that a number of times. It doesn't always work out that way.
Brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkeyNorthHills.com. Sidney Crosby asked a short time ago, put yourself in Malkin skates, you get punched in the back of the head, what do you do? And he said, I don't think there's an easy answer.
I don't think it's a great sign. It's probably true. I mean, guys are emotional, and guys don't want to let somebody get a pound of flesh without some revenge. That's sort of hockey 101. You know what it tells me? And I'm a big Malkin backer. I'm more of a Malkin guy than a Crosby guy. I've always just enjoyed watching
him. I didn't know
that
about you.
I've always enjoyed watching him more. I finally acknowledge that Crosby is just clearly the better player, but I'm one of those truthers that says if you give me for one game guaranteed each guy at the height of their powers, I will take 71 because I think he can dominate a game. More completely, like Lemieux could, basically. But I think the thing that Crosby's statement there drives home, and then I think about Malkin's action, is this team is still not in eyes-on-the-prize mode if one of their two biggest stars up 3-0 in a game that the other team has to have that's crucial to you, too, because you're 8 up in the point standings on them. You stave them off. The fact that he is willing to kind of turn and fling the stick out like that tells me it's not all focus yet. I think if that happens in, like, game 4 of a playoff series and they're about to go up 3-1 and they're up 3-0 in the game, I honestly believe Malkin has that in his mind and says, I'm not gonna do this. But it tells me that he's like, you know what, I can afford to take a swipe here. And if I get him and I clip him, oh well. I might even get suspended. Oh well. It'll all be good. So it's a little focus-related thing I see there from him.
You're saying that you send a message to everybody that you're not the type of player that gets taken advantage of or gets trifled with. If you try to do something dirty on me, I'm going to get you back. I can police myself. I don't need a protector. I don't need somebody on my line. I don't need a McSorley or a Caulfield to have my back. I can do it myself. Well, Ovechkin's always played the game that way. He doesn't need someone to
him. I'm saying my thing is more your priorities are shown if you're Malkin in that instance, where if it's later in the season or a more overtly, he views it as a more overtly crucial game, he maybe doesn't retaliate.
Do you think he swings back in a 1-1 game?
No, I don't. Like, I think it was the combination of the lead they had, the team they were playing, the mile marker they were at in the season that conspires to have him do that. I would hope in a 1-1
game. See, I think it was an automatic response. I think it was almost like what was that instrument that you have at the doctor's office where he would hit you in the knee with it?
The reflex tester. The rubber mallet triangle thingy.
I don't think that's the medical.
That's probably like an osteoscope or something.
Yes,
like
the
that. The
what
scope.
Did you just call it? The rubber triangle
mallet thingy. I think that's the technical term.
Excuse me, nurse. Can you hand me the mallet,
nurse,
rubber
nurse scalpel,
thingy?
Nurse rubber triangle mallet thingy?
Yeah, it just seemed like it was a natural reaction.
Well, you know, if you're him, why don't you swing low there for Raffle? Why don't you try to clip him in the knees? It's not like that's going to tickle.
I think he was thinking eye for an eye. You hit me in the head, I'm going to hit you in the head. Chris, it's.
What if the NHL had actually done what a lot of people feel in a sane world they should have done, which is suspend him for like 10 games? That's a potential playoff coster.
Right.
That's right. As much as I want to sympathize with him because Raffle absolutely got off scot-free and did not deserve to, if he connects better and therefore hurts the guy,
yeah, I've never.
They might miss the playoffs because of it.
I don't want to make Malkin out to be a victim or a martyr figure here or someone who is absolved from blame. he's just not the only guilty party, and he's you have to get on him for not having composure in that situation. But I expected that that Raffel and that the league and that the officials would have been held accountable for what happened.
Wait,
too.
Why did you expect that? You said you expected that they would.
Yeah,
why?
Because Malkin got tossed. So I thought to myself, all right, now that he gets a match penalty, the league is going to review this, and they're going to look at some of the other elements or components that led up to this. And Malkin, they might look at it like, well, it really wasn't even. Raffel didn't get thrown out of the game. We tossed Malkin. That's it. We're done with this.
The only time the
NHL... That's all the discipline that this situation calls for.
No, the only time the NHL will like go supplementary like that and actually take a real look at everyone's role is when they're trying to find a way to blame a player who gets laid out by saying, so-and-so actually did dip his head or was skating. They're a victim-blaming league. They are absolutely not a... They are not a, like, Michael Raffel hit the guy, so we're actually going to say, Michael Raffel, you are bad,
regardless of how you rank the guys, we're going to see two of the best players in the world tonight. And in 2019, players are still thinking about situations like Monday night where some mediocre player down in a game says, well, guess I got nothing to lose, and punches a star player in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not say much about the NHL.
Where it's the only league where it can happen. If it happened in a basketball game, if the Rockets were up on somebody by 10 with 3 minutes left, and some, you know, average Joe on whoever they were playing sucker punch James Harden, it would be momentous news. It's just par for the course in hockey.
How about the allowances that are given to Tom Brady, where he gets hit in the boob in that AFC Championship game? He barely gets touched, and it's a roughing the passer penalty.
Bad call. Should be.
But they put a bubble around Brady.
They've put in that case. Oh, if what you're getting at here is other sports, other leagues have put bubble wrap around their stars for the most part and protect their stars. The NFL absolutely protects QBs. The NBA, by and large, has protected its stars throughout the year. The years. The NHL is the one league that is anti-star, I think.
Guys like Michael Raffel grow on trees. They should be more heavy-handed in disciplining Michael Raffel than they should Evgeny Malkin. Malkin's more important to their product.
Why are they not?
Because they're ass backwards.
I know, but is there anything that you can come up with on the spur of the moment here
No.
as to why they are like that?
No, I can't.
Sidney Crosby was David Steckel. Hey, that was an accident. Yeah, the best player in the world at the time who was on an insane pace. You'll remember Crosby was having a monster, potentially career year. He gets derailed. His career is in legitimate jeopardy. And it's, hey, accidents happen. Stuff happens out here in the NHL. They cater to the ham and egg type of guy more than any other league. And I still maintain that's probably the biggest reason that that sport is not more popular nationwide.
If you had to pick between bacon and eggs and sausage and eggs, what would you go with?
Bacon and eggs.
All day?
I think so.
I think the type of sausage matters.
However, if you're asking me to go sandwich route with that, if it's a sausage patty and eggs,
love sausage.
Sausage patty is so versatile. The bacon can fall out of the sandwich.
You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Coming up next, I've got something for you here that I think you'll like. One of the Penguins' top line players registers an opinion on who the best player in the NHL is right now. And you probably won't be surprised by his answer. It's the PM team.
Sid continues to prove everybody wrong and prove everyone that he's the best and that these new guys are, while they're very good players, they still had a little bit of work to do to kind of overthrow him.
Fan hoodies and t-shirts are available at the Fan Store. Perfect options for the unpredictable Pittsburgh weather. Ain't that the truth? Visit 937thefan.com/store now to get your exclusive merchandise made by Fanatic Impressions. At 3 o'clock, which team should trade for Antonio Brown? The team that makes the most sense. But right now, we're going to react to what Brian Rust just said. Sidney Crosby continues to prove everybody wrong. Is there this clan or this
doubters
colony of Sidney Crosby haters who don't
the doubters
give him
Here's what the haters look like.
Is there like a – you know how Skip Bayless hates LeBron? Is there like somebody in the media who does that to Crosby?
You think Milbury probably does it just in general.
I think Milbury turned over a new leaf on Sid like 2 or 3 years ago.
He was a heel on Sid, and then when they started winning again big, I think he turned over a new leaf. I don't know. To me, when Brian Russ says that and talks about like the, you know, the people out there.
Who are they?
It's not even a group of – it's not like a defined group of people. It's anyone that happens to have the audacity to say that Connor McDavid is now the best player in hockey, which he is. I watched Sidney Crosby – oh, gadzooks! Like, I can't believe he said it. It's true, though. This is an unbelievably scoring depressed era for the NHL. He had 100 last year, 100, or 108 last year, 100 the year before that, led the league both years in points. He's very possibly going to do it again this year. He does it on a team where there's Draisaitl and nobody else. They're a horribly mismanaged team.
You don't want to throw Milan Lucic in there?
Not quite.
Okay.
Modern day Semenko with probably less talent at this point in his career. My point about McDavid is it's okay for Sidney Crosby to have been usurped. You would expect a 22-year-old guy, or 20, whatever, he's 23 now, who was billed as the next one, to take that mantle and run with it. And I think whenever people talk about Crosby, the thing they keep falling back on, even though he's, 18th in the league in points or whatever it is that he plays such a 200-foot game of hockey. They cite his defensive abilities. Points are at a premium. If you're producing points for me, for my team, if you're on the team and you have 81 points like McDavid does right now, that is inherently more valuable, I think, than playing solid back-checking defense.
Okay.
Because saying Crosby plays 200 feet of hockey is impossible to refute, but it's also very difficult to go and cherry-pick every time which he definitively prevented a goal by back-checking or playing really sound defense.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts on that. The first one is when Jonathan Toews' lovers made that same point for Toews being better than Sid, we hated it. When 4 or 5 years ago, the argument for Toews over Sid, when they focused on winning, team achievement, and Toews might not lead the league in points, but he does everything, people in Pittsburgh said, shut up. Crosby won the Art Ross Trophy or led the league in points scored.
Scoreboard.
So pipe down, okay? Right. Here's another thing I'm going to draw back on. If we were sitting here in the, well, we wouldn't be sitting in this beautiful hotel, but if we were here in, I don't know, 1993.
Yep.
How old were you?
8 years old.
Did you have a little rat tail mullet action going on, any of that?
Oh, no, I had chapped lips and really bad hair, like hair sticking out in every direction.
Do you have an original Nintendo, an 8-bit NES?
I think we were still
rocking. Take the cartridge, blowing it to work.
I think we had the top loader, which was much more reliable.
Blades of Steel. Get into that
ice hockey,
bit.
Fat guys, skinny guys. Oh, yeah. We had the whole nine yards.
So go back to that. Actually, now that I mention it, I think early 90s is more Sega era, isn't it?
NHLPA 93. Boom.
Yeah, before 94 came out. So we're back then in that time frame. If somebody had the audacity to say...
Jeremy Roenick?
Steve Yzerman's better than Mario.
Or Roenick. Roenick got a lot of run.
But Yzerman was a center.
A winner.
Who did... Yep. The little things.
Yep.
He never beat Mario in the points race. He never put up points like Gretzky, but he had all the intangibles covered. He would do the things that didn't show up on a stat sheet or a box score. And Detroit fans and other hockey nerds would say, Yzerman's a great player. It wouldn't manifest itself in numbers.
Do you know who else would use as that? Mark Messier at that same time period.
That's another
good ultimate
one.
Guts, blood and guts leader.
And you know what? When I hear people say that, okay, if you want to try to convince me that Messier and Yzerman were great players, that's fine. But don't put them ahead of a guy that was scoring 150 points in a season. You know what I mean? Like, if McDavid scores 30 to 40 points more than Crosby, I don't know how he makes up that gap. I really don't.
He can't. That's why that argument by the pro-Crosby crowd that wants desperately for him to be still the best player is so, I'll call it bad faith, I guess, because they know that saying, oh, he just plays better defensive hockey is a really hard thing to prove or disprove. And you know what they'll come back to? They'll say, well, Crosby's team wins. As if McDavid is somehow contributing to all the losing in Edmonton and not the chronic mismanagement of that franchise around him. it makes what he's doing even more impressive. The fact that he's third in the league in points, and if he goes on a little run, he might catch Kucherov and Kane. The fact that he does it in that outpost,
right,
where they can't get anything else right, mm-hmm, makes it even more impressive. That actually is an argument for him, not for Crosby.
And if it's a conversation that is about the present and not the past, or even about the future, not who he'd start a franchise with, not career resume, and we're just purely talking about what's happening in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
Sid's team is on the bubble. They're not running away. He's not Nikita Kucherov, or he's not a player who might not have the stats to back it up, mm-hmm, who's on a first-place team or a team that's having this, you know, incredible or super impressive season.
No, they're floundering.
The Penguins have won two more games than they've lost. The Penguins' season, record-wise, is much like the Steelers' season. People might not want to hear that. Actually,
well, they'll tell you they get a point for losing.
You know what?
Overtime,
actually, I'm going to do you one better. Their season, record-wise, really is not that much off from the Pirates last year. If Major League Baseball had the same playoff system as the NHL, the Pirates would have made the playoffs.
If you just multiply, the Penguins have played 56 games. They're two games over 500. You multiply that by three, they'd be six games over, roughly, for a baseball season.
What did the Pirates win?
82 and 79, because they didn't play 162 games. It's virtually identical. But in hockey, you can't quite look at it in that vacuum. I choose to. I love that Jeff Hathorn does this in his updates, too. I love not letting the fact that you get a point for an overtime loss,
a loss
slide.
Is a loss.
It's still, you still lost
you
the hockey
win.
Game. You should, you know, you and Craig should know this because of our show bets where I end up winning games and you get that little overtime loser's point. It doesn't help you. Sidney Crosby did something like against the Flyers, getting that little kind of weird, fluky first goal to break the ice in that game. He did what you expect him to do. He played really well in that building. He had a very solid game. They need a lot more of those. He's not going to rack up the kind of points that McDavid will or Kucherov will. They just need him to be the best player for them again for a long stretch. He has been all year. They need him to be even better, especially if they keep floundering in other areas.
Do you and Alex celebrate Valentine's Day?
I mean, we try to. I'm sure she'll have somehow snuck out to the store to get like a nice card and some thoughtful little gift I never knew I needed, and I'm going to be floundering. We're going out to eat on Saturday for like a little matinee lunch.
May I share a story?
You may.
Last
I have
night,
a bad feeling
come
where this
home
is
for
going.
Dinner. There's a big wrap box on the kitchen table.
Uh-oh.
Amanda says, "This is your Valentine's Day gift. Why don't you open it a night early?" And I'm like, "I'd rather just wait till Valentine's Day." She said, "We're going out for a nice dinner.
Yeah.
I don't want to like lug this out.
Okay.
Let's just do it now."
Okay.
Open it up. It's a giant package like that still has packaging tape on it, like it's something that came in the mail.
Yeah.
Well, she had taken a big box that was shipped to us for something, opened it up, and there's like seven gifts inside. There's new sneakers. There's new shoes. There's underwear. There's a new AM/FM radio to take to games with me. There's like,
now that is a nerd present.
Yes.
That you would love, that I'm sure you probably were more excited about than anything else in there.
Yes. There's a new book that I wanted. There's all this stuff. And then I started to think about it. Did she give me all this?
Oh, no.
48 hours before Valentine's Day.
To give
Day.
You a head start on, okay, I got
to
get
now something. I need to make up.
Yeah. She, here's what happened. You're playing golf. She went in and posted a great number. Now you know you've got
to. She shot a 65.
And you know you've got to get to 63.
And I'm eating a hot dog at the turn, and I'm
yes.
like, I need a big back nine
you
here.
You need a run of birdies. You need to throw a 29 spot out there.
Look what my boss just gave. I don't know. I don't think four chocolates are quite going to cut it, but this is a good start,
you
I
need
guess.
To, you need to fire a 29 on the back nine. You need to just be aiming for flagsticks. You cannot play.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. When that's given to me, it's not just a magnanimous
no.
gesture.
No, when she gives you the 48-hour warning, she's
it's
pretty
can you match this and or top this?
She's pretty sure that you haven't done anything, and she's laying down like a score in the clubhouse that you need to meet. Do you think you've got it in you?
I don't really have time is not on my side here at all.
What you lack in time, you're going to have to make up for in financial commitment, it sounds like. Do you have a list of things, a running list of things? This is a smart thing to have, a tracker of things she wants.
Here I was thinking
priced.
Pro Flowers and Tempting Touch PJs.
I know. I know. You would think. Maybe not. She got you seven gifts. Flowers and Jammies is two. We can discuss this off the air. It sounds like you need real help. Hold on. Let me quickly finish. I bet you are not enjoying those presents, as nice as they probably are, like you really want to, because now you're stressed.
Yes, correct. And she also, like, really sandbagged me and said, like, 3 weeks ago, I don't think we should do much for each other this Valentine's Day.
Jeez. This feels like she executed
a setup.
This is a Belichickian game plan right now. She's taken away what you do best. You have to really come up with, you have to deliver an unbelievable performance here in the second half, or else you're in deep trouble. I'm sorry to report.
Do you think just a lavish dinner will match it?
No. Yeah, that's a start. But you've got to do more. You've got to dig deep and think of things that she really wants that you can make happen.
Yeah, the problem is that I thought because we weren't doing a big Valentine's Day, all those hits she dropped have gone in one ear and out the other.
That is deeply unfortunate.
Fan weather's brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal with Auto Show Savings in February. High of just 29, a flurry or two, and a low of 24 tonight. Coming up next, which team should trade for Antonio Brown? A Hall of Fame wide receiver will tell you who makes the most sense, and then we'll give you our thoughts as the PM team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.